Guess what we're talking about this month? All we need is love. We're going to be talking about the languages of love here this month. This is Valentine's Day this coming Wednesday. So it's not too late. Yes, right. I'm personally amazed at how much money is going to be spent this week on Valentine's Day. So I looked it up at the National Retail Federation estimates that $19.6 billion with a B is going to be spent on Valentine's this year, which is an increase from $18.2 billion last year. 55% of the population is going to celebrate Valentine's Day. And on an average of $143 is going to be spent. Now, if you're between 25 and 34, which I am not, you're going to spend $200 on Valentine's Day. That includes your children. It includes your school teachers. It includes everything about Valentine's Day, because, you know, we give cards to our family and friends and all of that. And then there's going to be over $4 billion is going to be spent on jewelry. This is the time of year to be in the jewelry business. And then another $2 billion on flowers or more. $2 billion on flowers. And I guess the rest of it goes to the restaurants, I guess. The billions of dollars that are out there. You know, for me personally, as I said, I'm amazed at the success that we have had, the marketing companies have had in marketing Valentine's Day. It grows more and more every day, each year rather. You know, there are some good things about it. It reminds us of people that we love, you know, respect people that we love and care about, to remember them through all that. But then there's some things that I think are not so good about Valentine's Day. It's like if you don't have a date, if you're single and you don't have a date, it makes you feel like you're missing something. It makes you feel sort of bad about yourself, like what's wrong with me? So I don't think that's very healthy. And then there's married people who just get disappointed at Valentine's Day because they don't live up to the expectations of their wife or spouse. Thank God my wife is not that way. She tells me not to spend money on flowers. That's going to die in a week. She said, don't you dare. You know, take me out to eat. At least it feel like I'm getting something for the moment. And so there's a disappointment that can come from Valentine's Day when it doesn't live up to all the hype that comes in. So I think that's sort of a negative thing as far as Valentine's Day. And like I said, this month we're going to be talking about the languages of love. You know, we as human beings, though, we have a basic need for love. It is a human need that we have. You know, it's been proven that lack of love to infants have dire consequences on their emotional development. Risk of behavior and psychological problems can come with that. And let me just tell all you dads out there today, I believe there's something powerful about a father who will hug their children, hold an infant, be affectionate to them, and express love and acceptance for them. It seems to be an easy thing for women sometimes to feel, to give emotion or to give affection. But I tell you what, it's incalculable the power of a man doing that to his child. Now, that's free for y'all you dads out there today, all right? That's free advice for you. But there's something powerful to you being able to hug your son, hug your daughter at a very young age so you can develop and establish that confidence in them. But as human beings, we need love. God made us that way. We feel the need to be a part of something, to belong to something. That's how God made us. Nobody likes to feel rejected. I don't know of anybody who says, yeah, I want to be rejected by my peers. I want to be rejected. You go to middle school. Good. God help us in middle schoolers. You know, the rejection and the stuff that happens in, you go to, for those who have kids, go from elementary, it's easy. Go to middle school, oh, everything changes. Then you go to high school and it goes to another whole level. So there's this aspect of nobody wants to be rejected. Even as adults, we don't like to be rejected. We don't like to be pushed down and looked aside because we have an inward desire inside of us to be loved and accepted. You know, it's interesting, we're genetically disposed to love our families. as much as they may drive us crazy, our extended families, there's this genetic thing in us that we automatically love them. Now, usually the only way that love is broken is just due to severe abuse or abandonment issues, you know, that can change those feelings and stuff. But there's this disposition, you know, of your brothers and your sisters. There's this connection somehow to that. You know, you even see it, love in the animal kingdom, not just in humans. I mean, how about the mama bears? You know, if anybody knows something about it, you don't mess with a mama bear when she has cubs. She will attack you in a second. You know, blowing a horn and waving at them is not going to run off a mama bear. You understand what I mean? You go up on a mountain, you go up to the mountains in Asheville, or you know, go up with Black Mountain and all those areas. They say, you know, Mount Mitchell, you need to blow a horn and the bear will run away from you. Not if they got some cubs with them. So there's a mama bear thing going on. You know, the penguins. You know, the males actually sit on the egg of a penguin while the moms go off and do their thing for a couple months. And then they're protecting them. And they're protecting them there. Boy, that's a sign for us guys. We got some responsibility with these babies. Come on now. And of course, some people say that wolves mate for life. Now, there's some debate about that. But even the wolves are involved with this. So the animal kingdom even shows love. You know what Plato said about love? Plato, remember Plato? 4,000 B.C. 400 B.C. You know what Plato said? He said, love is a serious mental illness. Because of all the crazy things you'll do for love. And when you love, even if you're in a romantic relationship, or if it's your child, don't mess with my child. You know, there's love. Well, his teacher, Socrates, now here's something good that Socrates said about love, I think. Those who are the hardest to love need it the most. So I think that's some wisdom coming from Socrates, 400 B.C. or so. Even William Shakespeare got in on this. Shakespeare says, love is merely a madness. A madness. That was you crazy. It drives you crazy to be in love. But I like this one phrase here from George Sand. It says, this quote, it says, there is only one happiness in this life, to love and to be loved. And I believe that is true for all of us. Love to me is a reflection of the triune God. Blake was trying to steal my sermon this morning. The triune God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in this triune God, we see love manifest between the God persons of the Godhead. And God birthed that into us as human beings. That's who we are. So what does God have to say about love? He uses the word agape in the New Testament to refer to this. And then if you look at some of the derivatives, you got nouns and verbs. Agapeo is the other one. So there's over 240 references between agapeo and agape in the Greek, referring to love. So the Bible, New Testament, has a lot to say about love. That's not even talking about the Old Testament. Now, the Greeks, their language, I don't know if it's more sophisticated than us here in English, but, you know, we say love. We say, I love my dog, I love ice cream, I love my wife, I love my children, I love the Patriots, I love the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, anyway, that's definitely, anyway, let's move on. But anyway, there's a love that is there. And we all just say love for everything, but in the Greeks, they actually divided it up some. You got agape, which is the love of God, and we're going to define that in just a second. They have phileo, which is a friendship kind of love. And those two are shown in the New Testament. They are mentioned in the New Testament. They also have two others that are not mentioned in the New Testament. Eros, which is romantic or physical love. It also has one, asterge, which is a kinship, your family relationships there. But let's talk about this agape. What exactly is this agape that we're talking about? Agape is a love given irrespective of merit. In other words, it's unconditional love. You didn't earn it. You just give it. It's given freely, unconditional. And I have a couple of definitions from this scholars had to say about this. Here's one quote. It says, agape, it seeks the highest good in the one loved, even though that one may be undeserving, and hence its prominence in the Bible. That's why it's used quite a bit in that. Another one is, it expresses the deep and constant love and interest of a perfect being, God, big B there. You see that up there? Toward entirely unworthy objects, producing and fostering a reverential love in them towards the giver. In other words, we should be feeling that way toward God. And a practical love toward those who are partakers of the same, our body, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And a desire to help others to seek the giver. In other words, we help others to come to experience this love. And again, this is a reflection of the triune God. Now, many scholars say this in John 16, verse 13, say that these passages are an implication, implied. It doesn't literally say they loved one another in the Godhead, but it said due to the inner workings, this passage has the Trinity in it, thus reflecting the love of God in this. And it says here, but now when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, but he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So we have in here, we have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus, and we have the Father working together in this moment with an implied love and respect that takes place. And so from that, love flows forth from the Trinity. It flows forth from who God is. The very essence of God is love. He's not somebody who loves. He is love. He is the creator of love. The essence of who he is love. The full manifestation of that love is through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. John 3:16, that famous verse that many of us, if you grew up in church at all, are familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he gave. He loved so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I have a son. I can't imagine sacrificing my son. Matter of fact, I'd be the opposite. I'd die for my son, not give him over to suffer. The love that is shown just in that one act is beyond human fathom. I can't even fathom that he would do that kind of love, that agape kind of love, for me that I don't deserve. None of us deserve it, but yet he did it anyway, blows my human mind. And then if we keep going to 1 John 4, it says, in this is love, agape, that he loved God, agapeo, that he loved us. Let me just read it before I say the Greek. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He says, love, agape, akapeo, and then akapeo again. In other words, he's saying love three times. He says that in there. In him is love. Not that we love God. That's the important point. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. The foundation upon which all love is built is agape. I believe it's the foundation of all. Now, that's what God has to say about it. Now, how does that afflict? How does that impact you? Or how does that focus on me when it comes to this? If we're going to increase, we've been talking about increasing this year, talking about reaching our city to change the world, part of our vision. We're going to have to increase in love in order to do that. We're going to have to increase in love for each other, and we're going to have to increase in love for those that aren't saved, or those who are not saved or not serving Jesus. Right. So there has to be an increase in love on all of these things. Mark chapter 12 tells us this. The scribe came to Mark, and he said, what is the greatest commandments? And Jesus answered, the foremost is this, Hear, O Israel. Now, here's important. Sometimes it's easy to blow by the "Hear, O Israel," but he's saying, wake up and take notice to what I'm about to tell you. Not just as a flippant, "Oh, hear, O Israel." He's like, you better listen to me right now. Jesus said, you better listen to me right now, Israel. And when he's speaking to Israel in the New Testament, he's also speaking to us. And he says here, the foremost is this, the Lord our God is one God. One God in the Trinity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Other words, your emotions, your desires, with all your soul. Well, excuse me, that's your emotion and your desires. Your heart is your inward feeling. With your mind, your intellect. In other words, he wants you to love him with your mind. He gave you a mind to use it, not to check it at the door when you come in.
Right.
And with all your strength, so all your vitality, all your passion. So he tells us to love him with all our heart internally, submission unto him, with all our soul, our will, our emotions, our mind, and our strength. Love God. But he doesn't stop there. The second is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, let me tell you something. This, to me, is the hardest commandment in the Bible. For those of us who are from Wilson County. I wasn't brought up to love my enemies. Not that my dad was a horrible person, but that just wasn't something that I heard a lot about, or my parents. But when I was growing up, you hated your enemies. You fought against your enemies as much as you could get away with it, and you didn't love anybody except your family sometimes. So it's really challenging to love people that you don't agree with. I mean, it seems like in our society now, if you disagree on any issue, you become an enemy. That is so, we can't even talk about anything right now without there being a division in between politics and morality and all your views of this, that, and the other. Man, there's this divide, and we hate each other if we can't agree. The good thing about the gospel is we can agree on the gospel even if we disagree on stuff that doesn't matter. It matters, but yet the gospel's where we've got to agree because of what he did on the cross. That's where that love comes from. But it's challenging to love someone to love your neighbor. It's challenging to do that. Like I said, I'd rather argue with you and fight with you than try to love you. I see people posting stuff on Facebook. And sometimes I want to say, you think that's a good argument? Let me bust your chops right here. But then the Holy Spirit stops me and says, no. You're supposed to love. But it's hard when you see different opinions. But you got to rise above that. Love is what combines us, puts us together as Christians and children of God. Romans 5 says, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In other words, it's not all about us trying to conjure up some kind of love inside of us. He has poured it out. Because of what he's done on the cross, he will pour out the Holy Spirit in your hearts so that we'll be compelled to love. It takes his grace. It takes him giving us love to love people that we vehemently disagree with. Or who speaks against my Jesus, I want to fight you. I'd rather go be a knight of, whatever. What is it? See y'all show up at once. I'd rather go be a Templar and fight them than go, I love you. But that's not what God tells us to do. He wants us to love our neighbors. It's not always easy. We, over the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at the five love languages. Anybody know that book, The Five Love Languages? So that we can increase in our love for God and our love for each other. The five love languages are, many of us who have been through that book with marriage, or even children, there's a book for children. I think it also applies to those of us who are single, but just because you're in relationships, the words of affirmation and quality time and receiving gifts, acts of service and physical touch. So what we're going to be doing over these coming weeks is we're going to be looking at these languages based upon the foundation of agape, that God is love, that all things comes from him, that love that he gives us, that unconditional love. And then we're going to look at how the New Testament addresses these languages and how we can incorporate them in ministering to the others. In other words, looking at the New Testament as a resource about how God ministers to us and speaks to us. All of us have different makeups. We all come from different places and have a different love language or a combination thereof. And God ministers to us, based upon those things. And we're going to look at those. We're going to look at some scriptures and compare and contrast so that we will be better, more prepared to communicate this gospel in a way that people can receive it. And so we're going to do our best to come in and do that, and so that we can personally grow in our communication, even if it's different from our love language. And so in this coming weeks, you don't want to miss this. We're going to have a good time with this. We're going to go through and see the New Testament, how Jesus spoke to this person and how Paul addressed this person. It's going to be good. You don't want to miss it. You need to bring some friends. Because we're going to be talking about this agape love. Agape is the foundation upon which all of this is going to be based upon. All of this. And as I'm concluding this morning, we've got to have agape in our hearts. It requires us to go to the giver of all love, and that's Jesus. It requires us, if we want to have that poured out within our hearts, as Romans 5 said, we've got to go to the one who is love. And you know, whatever deficit you may have in your life in the area of love, I believe Jesus can feel that. Now, that includes all of us. All of us probably have a deficit of love somewhere in our life. If you say, I don't have any deficits, that just shows me that God has done amazing work in your life, and you're a whole. And you're right where you need to be in your this walk in your life right now. But I think many of us probably have some deficits of love in us. Where there was something that we didn't get growing up, or there's something that we don't getting now. Whether it be in our marriages, whether it be single, whatever it may be. But I just want to just tell you today that I believe that Jesus will fill up the gaps of love in your heart. He'll fill up there, and he'll give you that unconditional love that will blow your mind. I believe all of us have some gaps in our soul, in our emotions, areas where we need love. But let me just say this, you can't look to human beings to meet all your love. If you're married, you can't look to your spouse to meet every love that you have. If you're in a dating relationship, you can't look to them to fill up something that only God can fill, even in marriage. You can't look to your children to fill up every need that you have. You've got to look to Jesus, because there is a love and an unconditional gap filler named Jesus Christ. And he's the only one who can go in to some of the deep places in your soul and in your emotions and fill up what's lacking in your love cup, if you want to put it that way. We probably all have it. All I know is, if I look to my wife to meet every need, she'll never live up to it, because only God, you can't live up to being God. You can't live up to being Jesus. And so, do you know the only thing he really requires of us? He asked us to repent of our sins and follow him. He asked us to say, Lord, Jesus, I am sorry for my lifestyle. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent, which means I'm going to turn away from those things. And I commit my life to you. Come and live inside of me. And I promise you this thing, if you do that, if you follow after Jesus like that, you will experience a love and an acceptance that no person on earth can ever touch you with. No person on earth can ever touch you the way Jesus can touch you. If you're willing to do it his way. If you're willing to come to him and repent. If you're willing to come to him and ask, set me free, Jesus. Heal my life. Touch me. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And if you're here today and you say, I'm saved and I'm doing good, saved in the sense that I've come into a relationship with Jesus, I'll celebrate with you. But if you're here today and you're saying, I got some real stuff missing in my life, and it's love that's missing, and I need to repent and give my life to Jesus, this day is for you as well. This day is for you. Because I'm going to tell you again, I'm going to say it one more time, there's a way that Jesus can touch you that no human being can ever touch you. And he will go to the deep crevices of your heart, places you didn't even realize were existing, and he will touch you, and he will change you, and he will radically transform you, and he'll give you a calling and a destiny and a purpose that you never thought possible in your life. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care your socioeconomic status. This is for every human being. If they'll come to Jesus, you'll have a love that you never thought possible, and an unconditional love. So let me pray for you this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for agape. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that for that unconditional love that you have for us. Lord Jesus, what would we do without you? Lord, I pray for those folks out there today who maybe they've never experienced this kind of love before, and they say, look, you know, today I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to surrender my heart to him so that I can experience what Eddie's talking about, this love. If that's you, raise your hand. I just want to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody in here? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? If you raised your hand, just pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to change me. And I ask you to fill me with your presence and fill me with your love. If you pray that prayer with me today, you are clean by the word of Jesus. Because of the blood of the Lamb, you are clean, and God has forgiven your sin. And you are now a child of God, and I believe he wants to pour out his love upon you. I pray in Jesus' name for you. Anybody else here today says, Eddie, I need God to touch me in a way that I have not been touched in a long time. I need his love to be poured out in some gaps in my heart and my life. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you, just a general prayer. Thank you. All these folks who have their hand raised this morning, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would reveal yourself to them right now, that you reveal your love to them, that they would experience what agape is, Lord Jesus, that they would know the love of God poured out by the Holy Spirit, that they would come into a deeper knowledge and a deeper meaning in you, Lord Jesus, and a deeper love, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless them and help them this morning. Help them be what you've called them to be. Go fill up the gaps, Lord Jesus, in their hearts and in their souls. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we all stand this morning as we go ahead?